Good to see everyone this Lord's Day morning. I've got to tell you, I cannot remember when I've been a part of a congregation that has come off of a better gospel meeting than what we enjoyed this past week. We heard some good, solid gospel preaching, excellent singing, and we had good crowds that came and were here to engage in the worship and to study, and a lot of visitors who came from surrounding congregations to encourage us in the work here. And I'm uplifted, and I trust that you are as well. And let us use the momentum that has been generated by this meeting as we go onward in our work here at Knollwood, and we strive and we labor and work together to spread the gospel in this place and to edify one another. There was a comment that Brother Galloway made in his sermon on Friday night that stuck with me, and I've been thinking about it through the weekend. One of the points that he made in his sermon on a marriage that will not fail, if you want to have a marriage that will not fail, marry someone who wants to go to heaven. And I'm glad that he made the distinction between someone who is a Christian and someone who wants to go to heaven, because sad to say, sometimes they are not the same. But if you marry someone who has the utmost desire to go to heaven above all other things, then they're going to help you to get to heaven as well. And his point was very well made, and I trust very well taken. I want to talk this morning about why I want to go to heaven. Why I want to go to heaven. That is a hope, and that is a desire that each and every one of us as Christians should have. And it's something that we should be excited about, that we should want to sing about. And Jason, I appreciate the songs that you've chosen. It's something we should pray about and we should talk about. I don't know about you, but I enjoy going on trips. I don't necessarily like the travel so much, but I like the trips. And I know that Christy and I are a part of a congregation now that made up of people who like to go on trips. And a lot of you like to go on trips together. When it comes time to take a trip, you begin to think about it. You begin to get excited about it. You begin to talk about it to other people. You make those plans. When we get back from the trips, we bore each other to death with the stories and the pictures and everything that we did, and we're glad to return the favor when we come back for a trip. But you know, there's a trip that all of us are going to take one day, and we need to be a little bit more excited about that. We need to be talking about that more often than we do. And we need to be encouraging each other to be prepared for that trip when that time comes. There is something better awaiting all of us. I want to go to heaven, and I want to talk with you this morning about why I want to go there. I want to go to heaven, number one, because it is my home. If I am a child of God, and a Christian is a child of God, then that means that we have a home that is waiting for us. Look in Romans at chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Indeed, if you are a Christian, you are a child of God. But notice one of the blessings that comes with being a child of God, verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." We are heirs. As children of God, we stand to gain an inheritance. What is that inheritance? Peter speaks of it in the book of 1 Peter at chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1 at verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." You and I, as children of God, we have an inheritance. We don't have it yet. We're going to get it one day. We get that inheritance in heaven. In John chapter 14, as Jesus was preparing His apostles for His death, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Our inheritance is in heaven, and Jesus says it's a mansion. When we plan a trip, when we go on a trip, we book a room in a hotel. When we get there, and we tell them about our reservation, and they give us our key, we go up and we've got a room. We've got a room with a bed, and we've got a bathroom, and maybe some other amenities there. In heaven, we don't have a room. We have a mansion waiting for us in heaven. I want to go there. I want to go to heaven because heaven is my home. Yes, while I'm here on earth, I live on this earth, and I must make the best of my life here on this earth. But I must remember that as a child of God, as Paul says in Philippians 3:20, my citizenship is in heaven. It strengthens my faith as I look upon older Christians who realize that their days upon this world are fewer and fewer. And instead of seeing fear and dread and remorse, I see a smile on their face. In their heart, their bags are packed and they're ready to go home. They're not sad about dying. They're not sad about leaving this world because they know that they're going home. They know that they're going someplace better. And as a somewhat younger man, look towards that day in my life eventually coming, Lord willing, I hope that I can die with that kind of faith. And that I can show those who are younger than myself what it means to die in faith and to look forward to going home. One of the things that is great about the Lord's church is that through Jesus Christ, so many different people from so many different backgrounds can come together into one body and have the most important things to them in common. We as a church here in Knollwood are from different places. I've been here long enough to realize not everyone was born and raised in Dayton, Ohio. Look at both of our elders. John's from West Virginia, and Mike's from Indiana. We have those here who are from other places as well. Brother Towles is from Arkansas, as I am. I was born in Oklahoma, but raised in Arkansas. His wife is from Kansas. We have others here who are from Kentucky. I think Brother Harold Smith is from Kentucky. Brother Rob Jordan is from Maine. We have others who come from different places. But you know what, to a Christian, it doesn't matter where we're from. What matters is where we're going. And we're all going to the same place. We're all going to heaven. In the Lord's church, it doesn't matter where we're from. What matters is where we're going. I want to go to heaven because heaven is my home. Secondly, I want to go to heaven because of who is there. Now be honest, sometimes that makes a difference to you as to whether or not you want to go someplace, doesn't it? Hey, you want to go with me to such and such a place and let's go do... Well, who's going to be there? Sometimes that makes a difference, doesn't it? You know who's going to be in heaven? God's going to be in heaven. Psalm 11 and verse 4 says that God's throne is in heaven. How did Jesus teach us to pray to the Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. I want to go to heaven because I want to see God. I want to see the face of God. And the only way I can do that is to go to the city of God, to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven because Jesus is there. As Mark brought his gospel to an end, in Mark 16 and verse 19, it says that Jesus ascended up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus is in heaven. In heaven, we're going to be with the Lord. As Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 1, he was struggling between the two as to whether or not to stay here upon this earth or to go, to depart and to be with the Lord. The Lord is in heaven. I want to go to heaven because I want to be with the Lord. The faithful fathers who went before us, they'll all be there. in Hebrews chapter 11, those that we read up there in that great chapter, the Faith Hall of Fame in our Bible, all those saints are going to be there in heaven. I want to be there with them. I want to spend eternity with them. You know what? In heaven, the Bible teaches that's where we're going to be reunited with our faithful loved ones who have gone on before us. In 1 Thessalonians at chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, Paul says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep," that is, those who have died. "Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. This I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive," notice, "then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Each and every one of us here this morning has felt the pain and sorrow of having to say goodbye to a brother or sister in Christ. And we've joined each other out at the cemetery and watched them carry that box with that body of that loved one to be lowered down into the ground. And we miss them. They used to be sitting right here, right? And they're gone. We won't see them again here. But we'll be with them forever there. The question always arises, are we going to know each other in heaven? Are we going to be able to recognize each other? Are we going to talk about things here on this earth? I don't know that. Paul doesn't deal with that in this passage. Paul just says we're going to be together, and that would be good enough for me. And that would be good enough for you. I want to go to heaven because of who's there. The people that we love, the people that we care about, the people that we admire, those that we would give our life to serve, God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, they're going to be there. That makes all the difference in the world to me. I want to go to heaven because of who is there. Also, I want to go to heaven because of the way that heaven is described. Used to be we would go to the travel office, to the travel agency, and we could pick up brochures and pamphlets and things like that. Well, the internet's taking care of the travel agent to a large extent. But now we get online, we look at places we'd like to go, or when we're traveling, we stop in the hotel or we stop in the restaurant, and there's all those flyers there with the local attractions, right? And they've got all the pictures and all the descriptions of all the things that you can do if you would go and spend your time there with them. And we look through them and we decide whether or not we want to go to that place. You know, the Bible has its own brochure on heaven. It's located in the back of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. And I want to take a few minutes just to read down through this text. And as we do, what I want you to do is I want you to paint a picture in your mind of what heaven is like. That's the nature of the book of Revelation. It's a book of signs and symbols. It's a book of pictures. So let's read through here, and you paint your own picture of what the Holy Spirit is telling us heaven is like. Let's start here in Revelation 21 and at verse 9. "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb was its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Here's a city of pure gold. You walk on gold there. It's so pure, it's clear like crystal. Here's a city where God is present. And He's not in a temple and He's not in a tabernacle. He's there in the open, giving off the light and the radiance of His glory. And Christ is there doing the same. The tree of life is there, providing all of our needs. No sin shall enter in. Nothing that causes pain. Nothing that causes sorrow. Nothing that causes separation is allowed through the gates of that city. And it lasts forever and ever. Who doesn't want to go there? Who doesn't want to walk the streets of that city and be in the presence of the glory of God? I want to go to heaven because of the way that it is described. Don't you? I want to go to heaven because heaven is a place of rest. Revelation chapter 14 and at verse 13, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them." After a long day of work, you want to rest. After you've gone out and worked in the field or worked at your job or even worked around the house all day, you want to rest. After a life of laboring in the Lord's kingdom, you want to rest. And the Lord provides that rest for His faithful servants. Heaven is a place of rest, not only from the labors and toils of this life, and from the labors and toils and heartaches of laboring in the kingdom, but it's also a place of rest from sin, and from persecution, from temptation, and from sufferings that go along with our faith and faithfully serving the Lord. Revelation 21 and at verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." All the things that cause us the pain and the distress and the trouble, it's gone. Heaven is a place of perfect eternal rest. Heaven is a place where God will take care of us the way a father takes care of his little children. martyrs would willingly stand at the stake and burn to death for their faith. Why? Because they knew rest awaited them on the other side. They knew of what waited for them. You know, as you read and study about the blessings and the joys and the bliss of heaven, you're also reminded of the fact that hell is described just the opposite. It has been said that if someone dies and goes to heaven, this world will be the only hell that they know. But if someone dies and goes to hell, this world will be the only heaven that they will ever know. I don't know about you, but I would hate to think that this is as good as it gets. But for the person who refuses to believe in Christ, or for the person who dies in their sins, this brief existence in this world will be the best that they've ever known. And they'll begin an eternity of torment and regret. But for the person who labors faithfully in the Lord and trusts in God for his salvation, and when he departs from this life, the pains and the sorrows of this life will pass as well and will enter into the eternal bliss of heaven. Whenever I was a little boy and I would go to school, I would sometimes take my lunch. Sometimes my buddies, they'd take their lunch as well. And I noticed that so many kids around me, they'd want to eat the dessert first. Right? They'd tear into the little Debbie cake, or they'd tear into the cookies or whatever it was, and they'd scarf that down, then they'd kind of play around with the rest of it. Not me. I ate the sandwich first, and I choked it down. And I ate the chips and whatever else I had, but then I'd take my time. And so often, everybody around me, they're already through scarfing theirs down, and I'd open it slow. And you remember those little Debbie Swiss rolls, how they're rolled up? I'd unroll those things. And I'd lay it out there. Oh, my buddy'd be sitting there watching me like that, and I'd enjoy my dessert, but I'd save it for last. I want to save the best for last. I'd hate to think that this is as good as it gets. And there's a lot of good in this life and in this world, but I'd hate to think that this is as good as it gets. I want to go to heaven because that's a place of rest. That's the end of the trail. Where we finally get to go to sleep and get to rest. I want to go to heaven because I want that rest. And finally, I want to go to heaven because I'm invited to go. You know, I'm not welcome every place. My family and I, we can get in our car and we can drive along, and there's some places that we can go to, but every once in a while, we'll pull up next to a gate that's closed and locked, and we're not allowed in there. There's some places you've got to have a membership card to get into, and I don't have that card. There are some places you've got to be on the guest list, and I'm not on the guest list. There are some places I'm not invited to, and quite honestly, I don't want to be somewhere where I'm not wanted, where I'm not welcome, where I've not been invited. But I've been invited to heaven, and you have too. Revelation chapter 22 and at verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, that's you and that's me and that's everyone else. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. I want to go to heaven because I'm wanted there. I'm invited there. God wants me there. So I want to go. I want to go to heaven. I want to go where I'm welcome, where there's a place that has been reserved for me. Isn't it a nice feeling when you are traveling along and you've booked a hotel room, or you've booked a flight, or you've booked to be a passenger on a cruise, and you show up and you find that your name is on the list? Yes, Mr. Rogers, we've got a room reserved for you. I've got a mansion reserved in heaven. And my Father wants me to come home. I want to go to heaven because I'm invited there. And you are as well. heaven, it has been said, is a prepared place for a prepared people. Not everyone goes to heaven, but it's not because God doesn't want them there. We ask the question now, what do I have to do to make heaven my home? Maybe you're here this morning, you've been thinking about this perhaps for the first time, and you realize the bliss and the joy of heaven that is there and the fact that God wants you there. But how can you get there? We can't get there on our own. How can we get there? How can we make heaven our home? Well, Revelation 22 and at verse 14 says, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." How is it that I can approach the gates of heaven and know that I'm welcome on the inside? Blessed are those who do His commandments. What are these commandments? Well, Jesus says in John chapter 8 and at verse 24 that I must believe that He is the Christ. Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." If we die in our sins, we're not allowed in that city. Remember, that city is pure. That is the city of God. And those who are in sin are on the outside. Remember, outside, there should by no means enter at anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. Outside are those who are in sin, and if I die in my sins, I'm not allowed in. Jesus says I must believe that He is the Christ, or I'll die in my sins. Jesus also commanded that I repent of my sins. In Luke 13 and verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. I must repent. I must turn away from that kind of life that is causing me to be in sin and to be guilty of sin. I've got to turn away from that and show God that I want to be cleansed of my sins. I must repent and turn away. I must confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice, it's not enough for me just to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross, and that He rose from the dead. I've got to confess that belief with my mouth. This passage teaches us that belief and confession are not the same thing. I've got to believe, but I've also got to confess. In Acts chapter 8, where the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch shows me that once I confess my faith, I'm then a candidate for baptism. And be baptized I must if I'm to be saved. For Jesus Himself said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." If I don't believe, I'm condemned to a devil's hell. It doesn't matter what I do. But if I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, I'm going to listen to what He says. And He tells me to be baptized in order to be saved. And if I want to go to heaven, I'm not going to argue with that. I'm going to comply with it. And I'm going to be baptized in water. And it's there in the watery grave of baptism that that old man of sin is put to death and that I'm born again. And I'm born and I come forth, as Paul says in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, to walk in the newness of life. And that's exactly what I must do. Walk in the newness of life and remain faithful unto death. The Lord commands in Revelation 2 and at verse 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Entrance into that city is not granted to those who at one time in their life believed, or at one time in their life they were sorry about their sins and they tried to do better for a while, or at one time they were baptized and were even members of a church for a while. No, entrance into that city requires that I be faithful up to the point that I enter into that city. Blessed are they who do, not once did, but who do His commandments, that they may enter into that city. These are the commandments that are given by Christ. This is what you and I must do in order to be saved. To believe, to repent, to confess, to be baptized, and to remain faithful unto the end. If we do that, then we are children of God, faithful children of God, and we have every right to live in hope of an inheritance. Not because we've earned it, but because we've done what God has told us to do through His Son, and we've maintained our relationship with Him, and we've maintained our identity as faithful children of God. I am thankful for all the blessings that I have in this life. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my loved ones and for my friends. And I'm thankful to God for their love and their encouragement, their camaraderie and their friendship. I'm thankful for the beauty of God's creation, that I can look up at the night sky and I can see the stars and the heavens and the worlds that exist off in places that we'll never get to. And the beauty of the creation here on this globe in which we live. I've seen a lot of places, but there are a lot of things I haven't seen yet. I'd like to see them. I'd like to see the Grand Canyon. Been told it's a big hole in the ground, but I'd like to see it all the same. I'd like to see some foreign countries. I don't know that I'll ever travel outside the States. I'd like to see Vermont. I don't know why, but I'd just like to see it. But it doesn't really matter if I get to see any of those places or not. Well, if I miss out on heaven, it ain't going to matter, is it? There are a lot of beautiful things in this world to see and to experience. There's a lot of things that we can achieve in this life. We can achieve milestones and celebrate birthdays and celebrate anniversaries. I was talking with someone the other day, I think it was Brother Galloway. I said, isn't it going to be sad that in a number of years, there's not going to be a whole lot of need for these 50th and 60th and 70th anniversary cards? Isn't that a tragedy? Those milestones, I hope, mean more and more and more as time goes on in this country. Things our children achieve, and all the things we put up on the refrigerator and up on the wall of all the things that they do and have done, our favorite sports teams and how they finally win the championship. You name it, the list can go on and on and on. There's so many blessings that are found in this world, but I want to tell you, there's going to come a day in which each and every one of us are gladly going to trade every bit of it for a one-way ticket to heaven. And we'll leave this world behind. And as we pass through the air, we'll say farewell, sweet hour of prayer, and farewell everything else. I'm going home. Don't you want to go there? I want to go to heaven. If you're here this morning and you realize that right now you're not ready to go to heaven, right now if that trumpet was to sound or if death was to call you, you're not prepared and you're not ready. You need to get ready. We had some get ready this past week during the gospel meeting, and I thank God for that. It may be that you need to get ready as well. Maybe you're here and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're doing your best to live a good life, but you've not confessed your faith before others, and you've not been baptized. You've not been born again. You need to do that now so that you can be ready. Maybe you've done that in the past, but you've become unfaithful. Hope you realize the seriousness of the state that you're in. You're not keeping His commandments. Your name isn't on the guest list. You won't be ushered in. You'll be turned away to your regret in your eternal terror. Make it right. Make it right. And get ready to go to heaven. If we can help you and assist you in this decision that you need to make, we'd be glad to do so. If you'd like to step forward and you'd like for us to pray for you, or you're ready to confess your faith in Christ and be baptized, now I'm going to be standing right down there. Come and get me. And let us help you. Whatever your need is, come as together we stand and sing this song.